Michael Stahl has the ball teed up. He's ready to kick this one away. They'll do that bunch formation. They will fake the onside kick, I am almost certain. And then Ethan Kaharick is back to receive the kick. He stands at the 10-yard line. Ball is spotted on the 40. I'm Brad Allen alongside Grant Cortman. We get set for week 6 of the high school football season. The Ogama Heights Falcons taking on the Grayling Vikings. And there's the pump fake on the kick. And now everybody backs up. Kaharick, the deep guy. And now Stahl ready to boot it away. Line drive kick will be bouncing at the 12, picked up at the 11, and making his way upfield is number 10, and he's not really going to go anywhere to the 15-yard line. That is Tavian Hall, the senior. And so this is not great field position for the Vikings as they will start on their own 15-yard line. They'll be led out there by junior quarterback Ethan Kaharick.
Not great field position, but it is what it is. That's a risk you get on special teams sometimes when you want to go to the other side of the field, go to the open side. That was a great kick, great coverage by Ogama. They got down there right away, and number one rule of kickoff is don't get blocked. They did a great job of getting off their blocks, breaking down, making a big play there, and now we're going to get to see this Grayling offense where Coach Miller talked about with your interview. I mean, they could pass it 30, 35 times tonight, so I'm looking forward to it because you know I love my passing game.
They go three wide receivers, two running backs in with Kaharick. He lines up in between them. Two wide receivers to the left. Play action pass by your left side. It is high, caught, and this is going to be a loss of one on the short pass to the left side. That was caught by Corbin Allen, and a loss of one on the play action pass.
That's a tough play right there. So the play is a play action screen pass to the slot receiver on the left side. The problem with that is that Ogama Heights is playing man coverage, so the guy, there's not a lot of room there for a screen pass. So you're delaying it with the play action, and the guy's not moving. You know something's coming that way. Not a lot of room for that early play there for Grayling.
Second down and 11 on the 14-yard line. Kaharick will hand this one off on the ground, and Ogama Heights is on it. Fumbled snap, and Ogama Heights will have first and goal at the 8.
Well, that's how you start a game off right there.
Couldn't have started much worse for Grayling.
Yeah, not ideal from the special teams to the first play on offense to that right there. And they were doing two different zone reads off of that. This is a counter play, and missed up with the handoff. Ogama was able to jump on it. Now Ogama's going to get the ball right here within 9 yards away. So,
first and goal at the 9. Xander Cardis leads him under center. Two wide receivers to the left. I formation. It is a pitch to the left side. That's Bryce Burdan trying to get to the outside. He'll be taken down. This is a loss on the play. Number 9 for Ogama, Grayling. Josh Aldridge makes the tackle. And it'll be now second and goal from the 10. Loss of 2.
Yeah, toss play, wide side of the field right there. Grayling did a great job of getting outside leverage, able to contain that, take it to the sideline, and great defense right there.
Bigger package coming in right now. They take a couple of smaller guys off, bring a couple of bigger guys into the formation now as they go second and 10. Just underway, Grayling fumbles the second snap. Bad handoff, and now it is first and goal, now second and goal. Offset eye behind Cardis. He's going to go Burdan right up the gut, just trying to power ahead. And second and goal will be third and goal now from the 7-yard line.
I think Ogama is thinking, you know, two plays to get a touchdown here. I don't think they're thinking about field goal, even though they had that opportunity to do it. This would be a decent opportunity to maybe do a play action pass right here if you want. I know it's a little early because you've only ran two plays. You like to set that up a little bit more, but this is just the position that you're in. So I think that's an opportunity that they could do. Otherwise, probably just try going up the middle again in this game as much as they are to make it an easier fourth down. I wouldn't take it too far to the outside right now.
16, Rob Hawk is his favorite receiver, and he's got Carter Schmidt deep set in the eye. Snap, quarterback sneak right up the gut. Cardis dives for the end zone. Touchdown!
I said go up the middle. That's smart thinking right there. If you're not going to cover over top in the first level, and you're not going to cover over top in the second level, well, the quarterback sees this and take it right in the end zone. And that's a bold call, but hey, great call.
Man, they saw something immediately on those first two snaps that they had a hole right up the middle, and a touchdown is Xander Cardis, quarterback sneak from the 8, and the kick from Stahl is good. So at 9:48 to play in our first quarter, Ogama Heights 7, Grayling nothing on WKJC, your power station for sports. high kick fielded at the 10-yard line by number 10, trying to find room off to the left side, and he gets popped at the 15-yard line. As, again, Tavian Hall is the receiver, and it looked like he was just trying to find room, and he got smacked at the 15 by three or four Falcons.
The kickoff coverage for Ogallala Heights right now is making a strong impact in this game early. And you know, you've been on the air with me a few weeks now. You know I love my special teams, so
right.
They're getting down there, doing a great job. That was a big hit, and the sideline for Ogallala Heights just went nuts. They're building a lot of energy off this, so let's see if Grayling can respond after that terrible start for them.
Okay, Herrick will keep this one himself. No, he handed that one off up the middle. And from the 15-yard line, they get to the 18-yard line, so a gain of three sets up second down at seven. But last week against Sault Ste. Marie, Catfish and I think, called eight or nine quarterback sneaks. So it is just fitting that Ogallala Heights scores from the 5-yard line on a quarterback sneak.
That was a great play call. Greeling's defense was really wide. There was nothing over top the center on the defense line or at linebackers, so you could just take it up the middle. That's a great play call.
Shotgun snap to Kaharick. Roll out right. It's a shovel pass forward. And he threw it right into the line, and Carter Schmidt comes up and makes the play. So that's a completed pass to Josh Aldrich, but it goes for only a gain of one, and it'll be third down and six from the 19.
Yeah, shovel pass right there. They were showing a speed option to the right side. Had the inside halfback coming across on a shovel there, so interesting play. It was a designed shuttle pass. They weren't reading that option play at all.
Four wide receivers, one running back, and play action pass, fire over the middle. Kaharick behind his defender, and behind his receiver, I'm sorry, and that is incomplete, and now Grayling will have to punt this football away on fourth and seven.
Not ideal. Not ideal at all. That was an RPO right there, but it was a design pullout. Runs the slant route off of it, just throws it behind his receiver, so.
He had him. He was open.
Yep.
Right at the first down marker, so looks like that's Kaharick staying in to punt it away, I think. That's what I'm going to say. Someone on the radio going to tell me I'm wrong? So Kaharick to punt it away. It's a good punt. End over end. It'll bounce at the 47 and roll out of bounds at the opposite 47-yard line. So now Ogallala Heights got a little bit of work to do as they'll take over on their own 45-yard line, first and 10. This game brought to you in part by Quality Garage Doors of West Branch, Lake Ogallala Marine in West Branch, My Michigan Health, My Dieters of Luzerne, and Morse Clark Furniture in West Branch. Ogallala Heights leading 7-0 over top of the Grayling Vikings. They have forced a fumble. Well, unforced fumble. They received a fumble, and they have forced a punt. And now Ogallala Heights gets their second drive. They bring a man in motion behind. It's a fake and a rollout pass. Slow over the middle. It's caught by Carter Schmidt. Carter Schmidt's on the run. He gets across midfield, and he'll actually get well down into Grayling territory, taken down at about the 34-yard line. That is a pickup of 21 on the play, and first and 10 for the Ogallala Heights Falcons.
I love the play design of that play right there. They were in a wing tee offense. They have the quarterback roll to his right side. His first read was a tight end who was covered really good job by Grayling's defense, but he had the trailing wing back across the middle of the field, wide open in Carter Schmidt. And from calling his games many times this year, Carter Schmidt's one of their better players of the team. So huge play by them, and they're already moving on offense.
He is everything for this team, embodies everything. They bring a sniffer across formation, turn, handoff left side. That's Schmidt again, able to fight across the 35-yard line. He'll be taken down at the 33, and so it will be a 3-yard gain, second down and seven. 8 minutes to play now in our first quarter. Clock will roll under 8 minutes as we continue on with our Ogallala Heights offense. I formation behind Cardis, two tight ends, one wide receiver. Snap, turn, right side, Carter Schmidt got a hole, bouncing it outside, got the first down to the 20, and he'll be pushed out of bounds inside the 15-yard line, and Carter Schmidt makes that play happen, bouncing it outside. Ogallala on the move again.
Yeah, it's just a halfback lead play to the right. Fullback leads the way. Halfback comes behind him, and the blocking by Ogallala Heights right there up front was great. And Coach Miller talked about his offense improving in his interview with you. Is, you know, part of learning the blocking system, learning the schemes there. The more that they're getting more comfortable with it, the better the blocking should be, and it's showing early, and they're able to move that Grayling defense pretty well.
They mark him down at the 14-yard line, so first and 10 from there. I formation. Two tight ends to the right. Snap, give, right side, counter play to Carter Schmidt. Able to spin off a tackle and fight down towards the inside the 10-yard line. He'll be taken down at the 7. So pickup of 7 sets up 2nd and 3.
Greeling's defense line's having a lot of problems right now. They're just getting outmanned at the D-line. And, you know, when in doubt, you gotta stay low with it. You gotta pad level, try letting that, getting off the ball a little bit quicker. You got to bite down the mouthpiece, and you got to toughen out right here because you're in a tough spot where your team's about ready to go down 2 scores very early in this game. So defense needs to step it up a little bit up front.
Just about halfway through our first quarter, 6:30 to play. I formation, 2 wide receivers to the right. Get fullback right up the gut. I think that's Burdan powering into the end zone. Touchdown! Bryce Burdan makes it a 2-score game, runs it in from 7 yards out.
Ogumaw's doing a great job at seeing what the defense is giving them. You know, don't force anything, see what the defense is giving them. And right now, they're in a 3-man front right there against a team that ideally wants to go tackle to tackle. It was wide open up the middle. They were able to slam it in there just like they did with the quarterback sneak. So, interesting defense, but great calling by the offense. And they're able to move that ball in there, and offense is putting some points up early.
Good snap, good hold. The kick is up, and that's good too. Offense is easy when you just do what the defense is giving you. With 6:27 to play in our first, it's 14-0 Ogemaw Heights on WKJC, your power station for sports. Ogemaw Heights. Stahl puts a foot into that one. Kicks it to the opposite side of the field, to that far side. Fumbled at the 10. By number 10, now he's trying to work back to the right. He's up to the 20, 25, got the sideline to the 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Finally, he'll be pushed out of bounds. No, he's not, down the sideline, and he's shoved again. And yes, he is stopped out of bounds inside the 50-yard line. Took a bit of a long time to make the call. He went down to score, did number 10, Tavian Hall, but he's pushed out of bounds at the 47-yard line.
Well, here's the thing with this situation and this play is we are down an official tonight.
Yeah.
And so on kickoff is where it comes in. The worst problem is the official who has made the calls way down here. He has to get long ways on it. So it's a difficult thing. And but what a energy booster for Greenland, a team that desperately needs it right now. And this offense has to be able to do something. The defense is tired out there. Special teams really struggling. Made a big play right there. Almost took it all the way. And, let's see what this offense can do, I think. You know, you gotta dig deep right now and come up with some of your best plays right now because you can't let this game get much further than what it is.
Yeah, it's a very few must-score drives in the first quarter, but this is one. 6:15 to play in our first quarter, 14-0. Ogemaw Heights, 3 wide receivers, 2 running backs in here with Kaharick. He will give that one right up the gut, and not a lot of room there, fighting ahead to the 45-yard line. Was number 9. Josh Aldrich. So that's a pickup of 2, 2nd down and 8. Out of town scoreboard on our sister station Hits FM. What we expect to be a high scoring game. Augrain takes the lead over top of Mayo 12-8. 2 failed 2-point conversions for the Augrain Sims Wolverines. Something to think about. 4 wide receivers here. 1 running back with Kaharick. He's in shotgun. Snap. Back to pass. Looking right. Now it's a screen pass over the middle. It's caught. And not going anywhere, though. Able to fight ahead through a couple of tackles. And actually a good push here by the ball carrier who will take it up to the 41-yard line. And that's missed tackles we did not see last week for Ogemaw Heights, as this is a short gain and will make it 3rd down and 4. He got half of what he needed.
Well, that's what parallel squats will do for him in the weight room right there. He has those legs just keep moving and moving, and that was a great job because that screen pass looked like it was going absolutely nowhere. They had an outside linebacker that sniffed it right out, and he was able to drive it for a few more yards and now made it a little bit more of a manageable 3rd down.
That was Jake Husband who caught the football. So 3rd down and 4. And snap, and no flag here on the little jump. Ogemaw Heights flinched, but didn't go across the line. 4 wide receivers, snap, and handoff up the cut, and that ball popped out and ripped away by the Falcons. And no, we're not going. They're going to say forward progress stopped, which is the correct call here by the side official here. I thought it was just forward progress stop. Good job by that side official to make a clear call that this is just right back to the line, 4th down.
Yeah, this is a huge 4th down early for Greenland. What they're doing right now is they're making a lot of audibles from the line of scrimmage. They have their head coach and play caller over there with a couple of the guys. They're calling and changing the play from the line of scrimmage, and they're really trying to force up the middle, but I think there's openings on the outside right now that they need to try them.
Back to pass on fourth down. Fire right side into a crowd. Picked off. That is intercepted at the 40 and up to the 50. All the way to the 40. Cutting back upfield. That's Kudamash. Kudamash taken down inside the 30 as Gabe Kudamash makes a play. A ball that was thrown essentially right to him. And the Falcons will take over deep in Grayling territory.
Yeah, that's a play right there. Two receivers, they ran the wrong route because they ran into each other. They were in the same spot. You can't have two receivers being in the same spot on offense because when you do that, it means you got two defenders that are in the same spot right there too. Omaha did a great job right there getting that interception and making a decent return on it. And just for Grayling, they got to wait a little bit. They actually had some time in the pocket. If those receivers figured it out, one's supposed to go on the deep end, one's supposed to go on the inside route, that deep ball might have been open if they waited. Instead, Ogama capitalizing again, second turnover of the game, making a big impact early.
Single back formation, two tight ends. It's a handoff on a sweep to the tight end, Rob Hawk, and he will actually be backed up a couple of yards, and it'll be second down and a stoppage. The no flag was thrown, but the opposite side official came down.
Yeah. Looks like there may be a flag.
Oh, there is a flag down. You're right.
Awkward spot to be a flag.
Yeah, it's way behind the play. Before the play, false start. Okay. So we'll back it up 5 yards. So it'll be first and 15 now, and it'll be from the 34-yard line for the Ogama Heights Falcons, leading 14-0, 3:48 to play in our first quarter. This game brought to you in part by Dean Arbor Ford of West Branch, Charles Wengler Sales of West Branch, and the Erickson Family Insurance Agency in West Branch. Two wide receivers to the right, I formation behind Cardis. Snap, roll out to the right, fires over the middle, open receiver, caught and taken down at about the 24-yard line. And that is number 10, Nolan Hines, on the catch.
Yeah, great job. And Ogama Heights does a really well job with any of those routes just coming across the formation there and take their time with it. Quarterback's not going to force anything. He's going to wait to see that receiver come open across the middle of the field, and it's open quite often. So,
well, it's exactly like you just mentioned with Grayling. He's got time in the pocket, so he doesn't feel rushed.
Yep.
He's doing a good job of standing still and realizing he doesn't have to get rid of the ball right away. I formation, snap, turn, right side. Think that's Schmidt. Schmidt goes in the line. We have a penalty flag thrown into the pile on the tackle. So we'll see what this is as he got back maybe to the line of scrimmage. Face mask maybe? Someone reaching up and grabbing that 5-yard face mask here?
Could be.
Could be a hold?
Could be a holding that somebody pulled down into the pile area there.
Let's just get the call from the White Hat instead of speculating. I think he's saying something, but can't hear what he said. After the play, unsportsmanlike on Ogama. He threw it while the play was still happening, but I guess either way, unsportsmanlike conduct is unsportsmanlike conduct. So somebody said something, somebody in that pile there that was not great, and so the play should count after the down, so it should be third down.
I think what it was is that somebody shoved during that pylon there unnecessarily is what it looks like, just seeing some gestures made. But big negative play right there for Ogama and helps Grayling greatly.
So if that is after the play, this should be third down. The stick and the scoreboard both say second down. So it's not after the play. During the play, unnecessary roughness, just a personal foul. Second down and 21 from the 40-yard line. Back to pass, Cardis, pressure in his face, fires deep over the middle, and it is caught. No, Carter Schmidt dropped it, had it in his hands, and that would have been right at the first down sticks and probably enough for a first down because he had a little bit of room to run. Not sure if he scores, but it's now third down and 21.
That was a pretty good throw by the quarterback there. He was turned to his left, so it's a little bit more of a difficult throw for a right-hander, and was able to put that ball on him and give him the chance to make a play on it. So a nice job, and that's not generally what you see out of this Ogama Heights offense. You don't really see going to the corners at all. That was a flag route. So it's a little different mix-up, but definitely gave the receiver a chance, so that's all you can ask for.
So we third down and 21. We'll see if they maybe try and run this and just pick up some of it. Bunch formation, couple of tight ends in there. There's a snap, Cardis. Roll-out pass, firing deep over the middle, and it is dropped by Rob Hawk. drop by Carter Schmidt, and now a drop by Rob Hawk. That one would have been a touchdown. And so it is fourth down and 21, and now they're going to have to punt the football.
Quarterback, just awesome throw again.
Great throw.
And you know, it stinks that, you know, stat sheet's not going to show that one, and he probably is a little bit down on himself right now, but there's nothing you can – I mean, he put that ball right where it needed to be, and that's two throws in a row where he's done a great job going down the field. So it's a positive sign for Oklahoma, showing that they can throw the ball down the field. They just got to capitalize on those opportunities. Now they got a chance to pin them really deep here.
Carter Schmidt's punt really high, and it will be fielded inside the five. Up to the 10, up to the 15, and taken down at the 17 was the punt returner for Grayling, number 11, which is a Corbin Allen. Probably should let that one go.
You should have.
3 yards.
But. You should have. The tough thing is with punt return, just knowing from coaching and the other play and stuff, you don't do tons of practice inside there because you don't see it a lot in high school football, which you probably should a little bit more. You know, I should have done that a little bit more, but it is what it is. You're not used to punting and returning a punt on the 5 yard line. It doesn't happen a lot.
Honestly, I'm just happy he caught it. We saw like 15 punts last week, and like two of them were actually caught by somebody. A lot of them let it bounce. I'm glad that he looked comfortable catching it. All right. Shotgun and handoff up the gut here for Grayling, spinning off a tackle and still fighting ahead up to the 25-yard line. That'll be a pickup of 7 and a second down and 3 situation now for the Grayling Vikings. Number 9 was the ball carrier there. That's Josh Aldrich.
That's a great run right there. Didn't look like it had anything with it. I tell you, that, those Grayling guys, they're in the weight room. They're doing leg day for sure. So they're able to move the couple carriers on them, and now they're going to go to a doubles formation. They got 4 wide.
And again, a give up the gut. This time a little bit of a crease. That's 34. Able to bounce outside. Now he's in the foot race to the 40. Cross midfield. Back to the 40, and now he will be taken out of bounds inside the 30-yard line. Big run for Jake Husband, and a big play for the Vikings. Much-needed play for the Vikings.
Huge play, and just great execution. The offense line opened up a little bit of a hole. He went right through it, and this is what I really love, Brad. I love when a player does the right things the whole play. He switched that ball on the other hand while he had the open space. He had his right arm running on the left sideline. You want to get that ball towards the sideline. He switched it over when there's nobody around him. He went 2 hands on when the Oklahoma guys got by him. That was a great run right there, and that's something that Grayling might be able to build a little bit of momentum on right now.
So I'll set up first down and 10 at the 30-yard lines where they knocked him out of bounds. They go 4 wide receivers, 1 running back. Again, Herrick and shotgun. Snap, quick pass, left side, caught. And this will be right near the sticks as that one was caught by Landon Hoffman, number 8.
And that play is open for Grayling. That's the play right there. You don't need to force anything deep. You don't need to try going inside. Right now, Oklahoma Heights is playing about 5 yards off those receivers, those hitch routes, those curl routes, something where you're just going straight, you're turning inside with your hands up quick, where the quarterback has 1 read. Get that ball out quick. Make sure you get the snap. Get your hands in the laces good. Get that ball out quick. And that's open right now. Oklahoma Heights is giving them 4 or 5 yards. Then it's up to them to make the tackle. So I think Grayling needs to take advantage of that a little bit more.
Snap, handoff, Husband. Now he cuts to the left side, spins back towards the middle. He'll have plenty for a first down. And up to the 14-yard line, first and 10 for the Grayling Vikings as they start to mount a little drive here with 1:26 to play in our first quarter. Again, 14-0 Ogama Heights. What's Grayling doing differently on this drive that you're seeing? I mean, we saw, I mean, 2 where they really looked helpless on those first 2 drives. Now we're seeing this looks like what I expect out of Grayling. This is well-coached offense right here.
Well, one, the offensive line's doing a lot better job of getting off the ball. And they must have got a chewing on that sideline or something. They look a little bit more juiced up. And you have to be, because if you're not going to bring it early, you got to bring it sometime, or else it's going to be over quick. And they're doing a great job of getting off the ball right now.
Is that double handoff again? They gave it to the first man. And again, a couple of missed tackles by Ogama Heights. His Husband will dive to the 7-yard line and set up second and short.
And the offensive line's doing their job of getting off the ball. But that's not the whole thing. The execution that Grayling's having right now, moving the ball greatly by those running backs.
Timeout Ogama Heights, back in 30 seconds on WKJC, your power station for sports. Grayling mounting a drive here in our first quarter. They have second and 3 from the 6-yard line. of Ogama Heights. 44 seconds remaining in our first quarter. It is Ogama Heights 14. Grayling yet to get on the board, and really they've yet to show any life on offense until this drive, finally looking like a more Grayling team that we are used to seeing. So the lineup in shotgun, two wide receivers to the right, one to the left, two running backs, one on either side of Ethan Kaharick, the quarterback. Snap and give right up the gut and spinning off a tackle, but not able to spin off the second and the third tackle was the ball carrier who forward progress will keep him ahead of the sticks. He's taken down at the 8-yard line. So that's a loss of two on the play. And so that will set up third and long. I actually completely missed that. He's back to the 12. I'm reading the field wrong. So it is a loss of six. Third and nine with 15 seconds remaining in the quarter. Quickly up to the line go the Vikings. Snap, fires right side and caught, but taken down just inside the 10. That'll set up fourth down as we start our second quarter. It'll be fourth down and nine right after this on WKJC, your power station for sports. It's 14-0 Ogama. Ogama Heights over top of the Grayling Vikings after one quarter of play. But it is now fourth and five for the Grayling Vikings on the Ogama Heights 9. They will line up in shotgun. Two wide receivers to the short side of the field on the right. One wide receiver to the far side, or the near side for us, but on the wide side of the field. One running back in there with the shotgun quarterback, Ethan Kaharick. They have a tight end to the right as well. Snap, and back to pass Kaharick. Pump fake, roll out to the left. Fires to the end zone, out in front of his receiver. And so it'll be fourth turnover on downs. As that is one of, I talked about this last week with Brian. I have a pet peeve in football, and it's one receiver routes. If that route was covered, which it was, there's nothing they can do.
And it was covered because Ogama Heights has obviously studied film. They ran bracket coverage, which means they double-teamed. They had a safety move inside, so any route that go inside, they have extra help with. Any route outside, you're basically covering them out to the sideline. There's not a lot of room. It was designed just to go to him the whole time. He ran a zigzag route where he's going in and out. Not a lot of room with it, and I'd agree with you. You like to have at least another route out there to check something off, or quarterback just take off and run if it's not that open.
Let's have something come over the middle. I mean, something from the opposite side. And fumbled snap on the play here for Ogama Heights. They're able to dive back on it, but they will go back from the 9 all the way back to the 6. So second and 13. And now Ogama Heights showing some sloppy football. High school football on WKJC, your power station for sports, brought to you by Willard's Equipment of West Branch, Fenelia Chevrolet in Rose City, JT Nails of West Branch and Mercantile Bank in West Branch and Rose City. Nick James back to the radio station for us. Always doing a great job. If he can make us sound good, he can do just about anything. So second down and long here for Ogama Heights. I formation behind Cardis. They give right up the gut. That's Burdan able to fight ahead. And how about this? Got up to the 19-yard line. He's going to be right at the sticks. And this might be enough for a first down. See, will they mark it down? And now the man in the white hat says first down, Ogama Heights. So, man, it's a tough one for Grayling.
It is. The defense made a couple decent plays there. They were looking okay. Then it was a big run right there by Ogama Heights right up the middle. And, you know, what Grayling's doing right now is they're really pressing out at any of those split-out receivers. They're daring Ogama Heights to try throwing that deep ball again. And, you know, the quarterback threw it a couple good times. I wouldn't be surprised if Ogama Heights goes back to that.
Hand off deep back. That is Carter Schmidt. He gets met, but able to drive the pile across to the 25-yard line. And a pickup of 5 on the play. Second and 5.
That ability to run the ball up the middle like that. 5, 6, 7 yards a pop. I mean, that's huge. And, you know, playing great defense and having ball control on offense is the name of this game that Oklahoma Heights wants to run. And that's the thing that's going to give them a chance to make the playoffs this year. So if they're able to execute at this type of level, It'll be a tough finish for the rest of the season.
Yeah, if you don't have to do anything fancy and you can still be successful, you're doing all right. I formation behind Cardis. Snap, turn, handoff, right side. That's Schmidt. Schmidt's going to fall across to the 30-yard line, pick up a 5. And what's amazing right now is you just look at that and you go, oh, man, he was met at the line. But what you realize is, no, the offensive line pushed the line of scrimmage 5 yards right there. So he got 5 yards and still fell down next to his offensive lineman.
For sure. The offensive line's doing a great job. And the big thing is that the running back's falling forward. That's something I always look for when you're running the ball is, are you falling forward? That means that you're able to move, you're able to, you know, advance that ball, and you're gaining that extra, you know, yard or two that you're getting falling forward. So big job right now by the offensive line and the running backs.
I formation, only one wide receiver. Handoff right side, Schmidt's going to bounce it outside, look for a crease, and he'll fight across to the 39-yard line. And it'll be a second down and one, gain of 9 on the play.
It's a stretch play right there to the right. It's supposed to go between the tackle and tight end. He's able to balance it out, get a great job for about 8 yards there, and able to hold on to that ball there. Grayling tried stripping it out as he's standing up, so great job right there by the running back. And Omaha Heights is moving. You're starting to see this Grayling defense tire out a little bit here early.
Officially down at the 38-yard line, so second down and about a yard and a half. They have to get just short of the 40-yard line. Turn, left side, back up the gut, and able to spin off a defender is Bryce Burdan. Bryce Burdan cuts upfield, and he's taken down at the 45-yard line. Pickup of 6 and a first down for the Ogama Heights Falcons.
You're starting to see hands on the hip for Grayling. You're starting, you know, it's what this type of offense will do to you. It's just ground and pound attack, and, you know, they're starting to bite, run, and eventually Omaha Heights is going to do that play-action pass where they could have that open there if they want. So they're having a great job right now.
Extra body in on the left side. Turn, give to Burdan on the left side. Fights off a tackle, just tries to go forward and able to find a small crease and pick up about 2 to the 47-yard line. And so it'll be second down and 8. 8:33 to play in our second quarter, 14-0 Ogama Heights. They got their first touchdown on a short field after Grayling fumbled inside their own 10-yard line on the first possession of the game, and then able to move about 50 yards on their second drive to score. That made it 14-0. Second down and 7. Tight end on the right side, wide receiver on the right side, and handoff right side. And popped at the line. What a hit right at the middle of the line by number 11. And that is Corbin Allen. To hold Ogama Heights to a gain of only 2 to the 49, setting up 3rd and 6.
I can tell you this right now about Corbin Allen for Grayling. He's going to have a new highlight on Huddle come Monday. That was a big-time play right there. We could hear it up here, and we got headphones on both ears. So what a big-time hit, and maybe that's going to get that defense a little bit fired up because, you know, they've been a little tired. They've been getting that running game going, right gashing them right now, but a little bit of juice with a big hit like that. So big third down right here because if Ogama doesn't advance many yards, they might be punting it.
Back to pass, Cardis, roll out right, short pass. It is caught by Schmidt, and Schmidt will be taken down short of the 45-yard line. And, no, they're going to say he reached the ball across the 45-yard line, and he is out of bounds at the 44. That is enough for a first down, and so 1st and 10, Ogama Heights. Good job by Schmidt to reach the ball across.
You said that Schmidt caught that ball? Yeah, win and doubt, go to your best players.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You know, as a third down, if they didn't get any yards on that, they were probably going to punt the ball right there. But, hey, go to Carter Schmidt. He's been your guy all year, and trust him when you need him, and he did a great job right there making the catch, get the first down.
Spread out, 3 wide receivers. Back to passes. Cardis looking left. Fire over the middle. He's got a man. Caught it. That's Carter Schmidt at the 20. Able to fight ahead. He's going to be down about the 16-yard line. That is a gain of 25 and a 1st and 10 for the Falcons.
Tell you what, this is the third game I've gotten to broadcast for Omaha, and the passing game looks so much better. It's the improvement that they've had, and the quarterback is doing a great job at getting his receivers a chance to catch the ball. This is high school football. We're not expecting you to, you know, throw in between double coverage and do all these things, but if you just give your receiver a chance to catch the ball, that's all we're asking. Just give him a chance, and he's doing a great job of getting his receivers a chance, and they're able to move the ball in the pass game when they're already able to run like this. They're showing that they're a dangerous football team on offense, and I haven't seen this as much this year. It's very impressive.
They go right back to that same formation, single back. They bring a man across the formation. They pitch it to that left side. Rob Hawk cuts upfield, and he will be into the pile, and he will be taken down at the 10-yard line. That's a pickup of 6 on the play, and will set up 2nd and 4.
It's a great cut right inside there by Rob Hawk. He was able to move inside. It was supposed to go a toss play to the left. He's able to cut it right back in by the guard center area and pick up a good gain. So Omaha Heights has shown the ability to do it both ways right now, and Greeling's having a lot of trouble stopping it.
6:40 to play in our first half. Ogama Heights can really, really take control of the game. They already have it 14-0, but you go up three scores, timeout here for Grayling. And so with 6:34 to play in our first half, it is Ogama Heights 14, Grayling nothing on WKJC, your power station for sports. Second down and four. High formation. Behind Cardis, snap, give Berdan up the gut. He's going to fight into the pile, and he'll be marked down at the six, which is right at the first down marker.
Setting up for a first and goal now, right?
Yep.
First and goal for Omaha.
White Hot came and took a look at it. He says first down.
Yep, we're going to cut the officials any slack tonight. Down a guy, it's not an easy thing to do. Means that the back judge, who normally not in the role, but he has to spot the ball too. So difficult job there. And
so you're out the umpire is pretty much where we're going with your I formation behind Cardis. Snap, turn, give left side and into the pile. And good job by the Grayling Vikings to really, I'm not sure he gained anything. We'll give him a yard to the 5-yard line. And so it'll set up second down. Second and goal from the 5 now. He said you had a Tawa score, out-of-town scoreboard. Tawa has homecoming tonight, too. Our guy Ben Murphy is there.
16-0 right now.
Woo!
Just got a new update. Tawa is up 16-0 late in the first half against Mancelona home. And Tawa is homecoming.
It's probably been since 2019 they've led by two scores in any game. I formation behind Cardis. They bring a tight end across. Snap, turn, give left side. That's Schmidt trying to find some room up the middle, able to break off the tackle. Offensive line gives him a push, and he'll be down inside the 1 or 2 yard line. That'll set up third and goal in quarterback sneak area.
I think that's a pretty wise decision right there, especially with having two downs to work with. Try just doing quarterback sneak on the third down, see what you got, and fourth down. If you have to get wild, you have to get wild, but try your quarterback sneak right here on third and just get it.
4:53 remaining in our first half. Third down and goal from the 1. As they'll go I formation. Cardis under center. Let's see if he just gets down quick and snaps it. Snap, quarterback sneak, diving ahead, and now we wait for the signal. He'll clear the pile. Fourth down. Didn't quite get there. He is down at the 1. I mean, they have really, it looks like, inches to go here. Fourth down and goal from inside the 1. Timeout, Ogama Heights. They want to talk about it back after this on WKJC, your power station for sports. It'll be fourth down and about a football here for Ogama Heights. From the goal line. This game brought to you in part by Culligan Water of West Branch, Ace Electric Plumbing and Heating of West Branch, the DeBold Insurance Agency of West Branch, and State Farm agent Christy Newbecker of Rose City. Fourth and goal from the 1. Ogama Heights leads by 14. I formation, snap, turn, give Schmidt into the end zone. Touchdown! Ogama Heights Falcons, they give it to their long back and let him make a play.
When in doubt, get the ball and enhance your best players. It's that simple. Sometimes you don't need to overthink it. Players win games, not plays. So that's a great job right there getting the hands in Carter Schmidt. And he's a guy who's been all over the field on offense all season for them. Let him get in the end zone there. And now a 20-point lead, could be 21 here pretty soon, is looking awfully good for Ogama Heights and a very difficult start for Grayling.
Especially when you think about where this was. Now they're going to go for 2. Try and make it 22-0. I formation. Snap. Quarterback pass. Cardis right side. Tipped. And did he catch that off the tip? He did. What a grab. That was Carter Schmidt who made the play. The defender tipped it. And Schmidt tiptoes the back end line and is able to make the grab with 4:14 to play in our first half. Ogama Heights 22. Grayling nothing on WKJC, your power station for sports. We'll be right back. 22-0, Ogama Heights. Shorter kick to the right side. It will bounce and roll out of bounds. And you got an idea of why that just happened, Grant? They've done such a good job with their kickoff coverage, booting it deep. I know that the last one went, you know, to the 45-yard line. But are you really afraid of that happening again?
Yeah, that's what it looked like. They were aiming. They didn't mean to kick it out of bounds.
Right.
But they were aiming towards the sideline and wanted to get it to the second level. What Greenland's in is they have five guys in the front line, and then they have a three in the second, and then they have two in the back, and then the one guy in the very back. They were trying to get in that 3-2 range. They were trying to not avoid the, you know, the best player in the backfield returning it, but fortunately they get it out of bounds there.
Bunch set, snap to Kaharik in shotgun. Looking, firing over the middle. It is caught. And spinning off a tackle now, enough for a first down. Cutting back towards the middle, got to midfield, and spinning off some more. Down to the 40-yard line, and tackled inside the 40. What a play. That was number 9 for the Grayling Vikings. That is Josh Aldrich, slipping tackles.
Big-time play. Big-time play. They got him open in the flats there on a pass play. He's able to spin out of a couple tackles, able to drive a couple more. Took probably about 5 or 6 different Ogama Heights guys on him there to gain an extra probably 10, 15 yards off that. What a play for Grayling. And, you know, like we talked about on one of those hits I said on defense, maybe that's the play right there that gets his team a little bit of momentum, a little bit more juice, because, you know, Ogama Heights starts the second half of this ball. They got to get it quick here.
Hand off to Husband. Husband is going to able to go through the line a little bit, and he'll get from the 37-yard line to the 35. And so it'll be second down and 8. Andrew Christner on the stop. 3:25 to play in our first half. 22-0. Ogama Heights over Grayling. They've shown the ability to move the football a little bit on their last couple of drives. Just haven't punched it in. They go trips to the left side. And this is going to be handoff Husband. And Husband will be taken down at the 33-yard line. And that'll set up third down and 5.
You know, I know that they threw the interception earlier, but you got to trust your quarterback here to be able to make a play, because they just had that nice pass play in the flats out there. But Ogama said it themselves, they could see this team passing 30, 35 times. There has to be a reason for that. So, you know, you have the ability to do it. I think they need to start airing out here to get their best chance to score a touchdown before the snap's over.
Kaharik will change the play at the line. 4 wide receivers, 2 to either side. There's the snap, back to pass, looking right. Now he fires left, bubble screen to Aldrich. Aldrich slips a tackle and able to get down to about the 25-yard line, and enough for a first and 10.
Yeah, good bubble screen right there. Slot receiver's able to get it. The key play of that is the left tackle is able to get out there and get a block on the outside linebacker, and you pick up a first down, moving the ball in the air. It doesn't have to be a 20-yard pass on the field. Something to get out in space. You're not really moving that great tackle. Let your playmakers out in space make plays, and you got to start moving. And we've also seen, though, if they do take a shot downfield, Ogama Heights has a little problem in coverage this season. A little problem.
Kaharik back to pass out of shotgun, looking right, fires to the right side, and we're going to have a pretty clear pass interference penalty here on the defense, and now we have an injured Viking, the intended receiver, who I think caught the football. Am I wrong? I think he held on.
It looks like it was complete. There's jamming receivers, and then there's a jammed receiver. He has got jammed. Obvious pass interference, in my opinion. Let's see what the refs agree with us.
He got there early. This is pass interference. Even though he caught it,
yep.
This is pass interference, which I know it's tough to think of pass interference when a guy catches the football, but he got there about a step early, and I believe it's 15 yards no matter what in high school. So we will move it up, and we'll keep going, and we're going to down it at the 13. So we're going to go half the distance to the goal, I think is actually what this is, because it goes into the red zone. So 13 yards from the 26. Now first and 10 from the 13-yard line. They quickly get to the line, hand off to Husband. Just that time, nothing there, and a good play by the Falcons as big number 62 makes the play for a loss of 1. That's Andrew Christner again. He came out of there excited. Second down, and they all the way back to the 15, so second and 12. Again, back in the shotgun. 3 wide receivers, 2 to the right. Kaharik, rollout pass to the right. Fires towards the end zone, picked off.
picked off at the 5. Able to make his way up to the 15, and that is where he'll be shoved out of bounds. But another interception there by the Ogama Heights Falcons. And Gabe Kudamash is his second interception of the day.
Great coverage right there. And the thing with that play is, so they did a rollout to the right. Wide receiver's running the comeback route. The farthest wide receiver was in a run about 7-8 yards. Turned his outside for a comeback route. Problem is they ran it to the side where there's not a lot of room. So his comeback route went into the sideline, forcing the corner to be able to jump on that ball all day. Great job. I mean, Ogama's defense, forced turnovers in this half. Awesome job. But now the big question to me is,
we'll talk about that in a minute. Timeout for Ogama Heights. They use their final timeout of the half on WKJC, your power station for sports. Ogama Heights lines up three wide receivers. They'll go handoff right up the gut, and really nothing there. As Bryce Burdan was the ball carrier. Ogama Heights used their last timeout, a minute 20 and counting to go into half. They're on their own 17. This just feels like they're going to halftime. When you use your last timeout, you're throwing the white flag.
Yeah, and the one bonus of throwing a white flag is normally it doesn't always end up good for you, but right now they're up 22 points. They have the ball start the second half, so it's a good white flag.
Well, we saw how risky it was at the end of the Sault Ste. Marie game to take kneels on your own 5-yard line and try and punt from deep in your own end zone with a high schooler. I mean, that's bold, to say the least.
That's something, all right.
All right, so 45 seconds remaining in our first half. I formation. Cardis letting that clock run down. They'll pitch it to the right side to Schmidt. Schmidt's going to try and bounce it outside. Cuts back upfield. He'll be taken down at the 23-yard line. He'll pick up a 7. And clock will keep running, and that might end our first half. See if Miller wants to run another play here. He doesn't have to. He's talking with the official right now. He sent a play call in. 15 seconds left. Taking their time. 10 seconds now. So they're not gonna snap this football. Nope, so we are going to halftime. So with our halftime score, the Ogama Heights Falcons 22, Grayling nothing on WKJC, your power station for sports. Kings and queens have been crowned. Everybody's gotten their legs stretched out. We're ready for another half of football. I'm Brad Allen alongside Grant Cortman. Glad you're here with me on 104.7 WKJC and all of you listening at home as well. Ogama Heights leads 22-0. They will receive the second half kickoff. This game brought to you in part by North Central Area Credit Union in Grayling, Houghton Lake, Roscommon, and Standish. D&M Supply of Omer, Benjamin Realty of Rose City, and Huron Community Bank, your hometown bank. All right, let's have some fun on this kickoff. Who knows who's going to return it? On the ground, that ball is tipped at the 35, and they will pick it up at the 27. That's Cardis, able to find some room up across the 35, and he'll be taken down at the 37-yard line. And so that is where the Falcons will start.
Number 10, just correction, Andrew Cardis, the ball carrier for the Falcons.
Can't do the keep-away handoff when the ball on the ground and gets tipped by one of the upmen. It's tough.
Yeah, it was a squib kick kind of like that, and it's not a bad idea by Greeling. You know, you did see that they won that Sheboygan game by doing that trickery in the kickoff, so they don't get them opportunity to do that.
I formation, one wide receiver to the right. Ball on the 36-yard line. Cardis, snap, turn, give, right side, Schmidt. Schmidt met at the line, able to slip off of that, and then tripped up, and he'll only gain about a yard. He'll be taken down at the 36, second down and 10. How about that? Touchdown, Tawasaria Braves, middle of third quarter. Thanks to Ben Murphy, the IASCO News for that. They lead 22-8. About to crown King Blanchard if they win that game. First coach to get a win there in a while. And now we have a stoppage and an official's timeout.
And equipment problem, potentially.
Yeah. Grayling player being sent off the field. Let's substitute for him. Maybe Yep, they're going to go to something there with the equipment. Anyway, second down and 9. Ball on the 37-yard line. Bunch formation, 2 tight ends, 1 running back. They bring that running back across the tight end. Now they're going to flip it up to him. And into the open field. Up cut through the middle. Rob Hawk breaks a tackle. And we have a penalty flag on the field as he scores. Touchdown, Rob Hawk, but I doubt that's going to stand. The white hat didn't go racing down the field like he was going to have to call a touchdown. Holding Ogama Heights, and let's bring that back.
Holding is the call against the Falcons.
You know, sometimes on those big runs right there, a holding call maybe didn't need to happen. You know, maybe you didn't need to hold, you already passed it. That one needed to happen. The reason that he was able to cut inside, and because he ran to the left side first, then he did a big cut to the right side. The reason it was so open is there was a pretty obvious hole in the middle of the field right there and prevented one of the Grayling defenders from making a potential play on that. So huge play for Ogama Heights brought back, and good call by the official there. It's going to set up a second and long now.
And it should be that flag was up the field. About 3-4 yards upfield, so they'll walk it back. So it won't be second and 19. It'll be second down. They mark it at the 31, and they have to get to the 45.5, so we'll say the 46. So second down and 15. I formation, 1 wide receiver. They go tight end to the right side. Cardis under center. Snap. And back to pass is Cardis. Looking over the middle, has a man wide open and caught. And this is going to be a touchdown for the Falcons. 30, 20, 10, 5. Rob Hawk, touchdown. Doesn't get much easier than that.
Nope, so Greenland ran cover 0, press stand coverage. There's no safety over top. It left the receiver on an island up there, or the defensive back on an island there to guard the receiver. They jammed a little bit for about 5-10 yards. Once he was able to get past him, he was wide open. Quarterback did a great job once again, just giving your receiver an opportunity to make a play on it. Put it up there for him. He caught it this time, made a big play, scored a touchdown. And I think this is the big difference right here, is Ogama Heights showing the ability that they're able to pass the ball in bunches, and that makes their offense dangerous. They're able to do that. So
they're firing it over the middle after they run it down your throat for an hour and a half, and then all of a sudden Rob Hawk is behind you, and you all of a sudden 69 yards to the house. So now Stahl will kick the extra point. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up, and that's good too. 10:51 to play in our third quarter. Ogama Heights 29, and it is Grayling nothing on WKJC, your power station for sports. Ogama Heights over top of the Grayling Vikings. This game brought to you in part by Countryside Appliance of West Branch, Roy Simmons & Sons Well Drilling of West Branch, H&R Block of West Branch, the West Branch Pharmacy, and West Branch Veterinary Service. .10:51 to play in our third quarter. 69-yard touchdown reception by Rob Hawk. And so now Ogama Heights will boot this one away.
And back to receive the kickoff for the Vikings.
You know, we mentioned Ogama Heights came in the favorite this week. We didn't expect this. This is not what we were expecting this week. At least I was not.
Nope, not at all. I wasn't expecting this high of scoring, that's for sure. I didn't know if either team was going to get the 20 points. And Ogama Heights showing the ability to... Can you get a flag on the field?
We do, on the far side.
Interesting spot.
Delay of game, maybe?
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah, that's 11 for Grayling.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, who knows?
Hey, fans, after the game, be sure to check out Brad Allen's high school football scoreboard at WKJC.com. See updated scores and standings, conference by conference, and game by game. See how your hometown school is doing all season long at WKJC.com. Brad Allen's high school football scoreboard is brought to you by Alcona, Septic Spruce, Coletta, Era, Voskoda, and H&R Block of Mile.
So we have a sideline warning against Grayling. That's what it was. Just a sideline warning. So some coach was saying something over there, and understandably frustrated when you're down by 29 points. A proud football school?
Well, it could be could be a couple things. Could be a coach saying something. It also could be a coach is in the way of the officials if they've been talked to before. If you get that twice there, they will give you an extra warning before they throw a flag on you. I know that from experience. But I also have the experience from also saying stuff, too. So it happens both ways.
Little pooch kick right over the middle. And this will be bouncing and fielded at the 37-yard line. Ogama Heights, that one long run back, that guy stepped out of bounds or else he probably scores a touchdown, has spooked him into not kicking this one deep anymore.
Well, they get a lot of pride in that zero on the scoreboard. And that's one of the plays in the game where, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, one little foot being out of bounds just by a little bit, that place, you know, they'll put 6 points on the board. So, you know, their goal every game is they have that zero on the board, and they take so much pride in their defense that they're a little bit afraid to go deep on it. But it also would be a decent opportunity to get some better practice at it, because that's something you're going to need to have great kickoff coverage coming deep in season.
Gaharick will hand this one off on first down up across the 40 to the 42-yard line. Was number 9, Aldrich. That'll be a gain of 4 on the play. If they mark it at the 42, they do. So second down and 6. 10.5 to play in our third quarter. Ogama Heights scored quickly, and it's 29-0. Again, Nick James back at the radio station for us, doing a great job. Working overtime with the extended halftime today. Snap to the quarterback. Handoff right side. That's number 34 for Grayling, who's going to maybe get a yard on the play. That's Huspin.
I'm pretty surprised that Grayling's not trying that quick passing game again. I mean, right now, Grayling has had 3 wide receiver sets the first 2 plays. Ogama Heights is playing about 10 yards off the slot receiver, and the 2 wide outs that are on the line of scrimmage on the very outsides, both on the left and right side, they're about 7 to 8 yards off. I'm really surprised they're not taking advantage on a quick bubble screen, a quick hitch route, and now they're in a doubles formation, and they're playing wide off again.
Snap. Quick look left. It's a draw play to Huspin. Huspin breaks a tackle. He'll be taken down at the 47. He'll be about a yard short of the first down and will set up fourth down.
No doubt about it. This is 4 down territory here for Grayling. You got to try getting a first down here and getting anything going on offense.
Huspin's been tough to bring down today. He's a really tall running back. So he's got the long strides. Not exactly fast, but got good strides. So they'll go 2 running backs with Gaharick, 2 wide receivers to the right, 1 to the near side. Hard count. Now they bring a man in motion. Hard count again. Snap and handoff. Heisman, man at the line, driven back, and this is a turnover on downs. They go to that play fake again where they hand it off the second time. They fake it to one running back, give it to the other, and that one let Ogama Heights get through.
Yeah, the problem with doing the double handoff fake there, not a double handoff, but they faked the zone to the left, they did a counter zone to the right, it just takes too long.
Right.
You're not doing it outside, you're doing it all between tackle to tackle, and there's just not a lot of time for development there. And really, you know, besides your running backs having a couple powerful runs with their driving their legs, Ogama Heights is kind of outpowered at the line of scrimmage. So running it up the middle and making it slower, probably not the best way to do that.
Sniffer goes to the left eye formation. Snap to Cardis. Turn, stretch play to the left side to Schmidt. Able to get a yard or so, and so it'll be second down and 9 from the Grayling 44. 8:40 to play in our third quarter, and yeah, Grayling's going to look back at this. You know, they're having a rough time out there right now, but they're going to look back and see. You know, they drove down inside the 5 and had first and goal. They drove right there at 4th and 1. Really, just some missed opportunities here from keeping them at least relatively close. I formation, 2nd and 9. Cardis under center, 2 wide receivers. Snap, back to pass, looking short right. That's Schmidt. Schmidt's got a lot of room in front of him to the 30. And he spins off a tackle at the 20 and down at the 15-yard line. They had 2 receivers go deep. Schmidt was wide open on the short little swing pass. He picks up about 30 on the play to the 15-yard line.
I love the decision-making by Cardis right there. So he had a twin side of the right side of the field. Slot receiver ran a wheel route. Outside X receiver was running a go route off of it. But then he had the halfback back there who was just doing a little chip and release route, kind of stay in the flats area. He didn't force anything downfield. He understands where he's at in this game. He took the nice, easy open receiver, got the ball in the hands of one of their better players on the team, made a huge play. The quarterback decision-making has been awesome today by Omaha Heights.
Hand off on a stretch play to Berdan. Berdan cuts upfield. He's able to slip off a tackle, and he will be down at about the 6-yard line as they brought him again over from that wing back formation. And he's able to get upfield and get 9 on the play, 2nd and 1. 7:20 to play in our third quarter. 29-0 Ogama Heights. A score here puts us into a running clock situation. Didn't even really think about that.
Oh, come on now, Brad. You got a 2-hour drive home. You thought about it.
This game doesn't feel like a blowout as much as some other ones do, because the way they play it, as Cardis gets a snap, gives to Schmidt up the gut, breaks a tackle, touchdown!
Touchdown!
What a tough run by Carter Schmidt. It's 35-0.
Powerful overall player, able to do it in a variety of different ways, and this is the third game I've gotten to see of them. I'm impressed. This is a different Omaha Heights offense. Now, yes, Grayling's defense is not to the level of what we've seen in Trevor C. St. Francis and in Sheboygan, but they're taking what's given to them. They're executing it. Great play calling, great execution, and I'm impressed.
Good snap, good hold, kick is up, and that is good too. Would have been good from about 35, 40 yards. So it's 6:54 to play in our third quarter. It is Ogama Heights 36, Grayling nothing on WKJC, your power station for sports. The officials are going over the clock rules as Ogama Heights has opened up a 36-0 lead. And so that will make it a running clock situation. The clock will only stop on timeouts, injuries, penalties, and scores. 36-0. Ogama Heights not doing anything flashy, just running their offense, and right now it is working for them. And is what has been one of the best, is easily the best offensive performance we've seen out of them. Pooch kick fielded at the 31-yard line. That's Aldrich, who fields it, able to find a little bit of a crease, and he's up across the 35 to the 37. But I mentioned off the last drive, Grant. Yes, it's 36-0. Ogama Heights is executing. Grayling, this is missed opportunities. First and goal, couldn't make it happen. You turned it over on your second play, where you've thrown two interceptions, one of them being when he had first and goal, and then right there, 4th and 1, and you don't just power forward. I mean, this is missed opportunities for Grayling to keep drives alive.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's many missed opportunities for Grayling, but it doesn't take away from how good Ogama is playing.
Oh, no, I mean, they're executing.
They're executing at all levels, and it's really impressive performance right now.
Quick pass over the middle by Kaharick, able to find a slant. That is number 10, Tavian Hall, who makes the catch, pickup of 11, and first down.
And see, that's the kind of stuff that I've thought I'd see Grayling here for a while now. It's Omaha's giving them such a cushion. Anything that gets the ball out of the hands of the quarterback really quick, doesn't matter if it's in the middle, doesn't matter if it's outside. Does something getting out of his hands quick, letting your receivers get a chance of catching it? I mean, Omaha's playing really far off of them, because just take away anything deep. Don't let anything, you know, big happen across there. But it's surprising that Grayling hasn't tried more of that.
1st and 10 to the 48-yard line. Kaharick and shotgun. Two running backs with him. He sends one out in motion. They will pitch it to him. That's Aldridge. Aldridge on the left side. He's got a crease. Up to the 40, and he'll be taken down inside the 40-yard line. Nice play by Aldridge, who's a little slow to get up now. And so now we should stop the clock, and we do. And, man, that's exactly what you don't want to see in these games. It's 36-0. The game is probably decided. The one thing you don't want is anybody getting hurt.
You never want to see it. You don't want to see it if it's 0-0 or 36-0, but it's a tough scene to see somebody get injured always, but it's part of the game, unfortunately, and hopefully it's not too bad. Hopefully it's like a cramp or something, and able to get back up there and be good for next week at least.
We'll take a break while they work on the ball carrier with Josh Aldrich. We'll take a break. They work on him. It's 36-0 Ogama Heights, 5:16 to play in the third. Josh Aldrich being helped off the field, putting
as little weight as possible on that left leg as possible. It seems to be the injured area. Hopefully he's all right, nothing too serious. And so he's able to pick up a first down to the Ogama Heights 38-yard line. Clock will restart now with 5:10 remaining in our third quarter. Again, 36-0, Ogama Heights. Kaharik in shotgun, Husband with them, four wide receivers. Two to either side. Snap. And up the middle, Husband. Able to slip one tackle, but tripped up on the second one. He's taken down right at the 35-yard line. That is a pickup of three on the play, second and seven.
On that play there, where they had that injury just a couple plays ago, that was a really good play by them, too. And it's a shame that, you know, we didn't get to talk about it because of the injury, but they did a toss play. And like I've been saying, almost playing so far off right now. Not only did you have that space for quick passing, but you also had that space for outside running because, you know, it takes them, you know, 6-7 yards to get up there. You also have your receiver who's going to have an easier chance to get a block for him. So outside running, quick passing should be open.
Kaharik, pass fake to Hospin. That ball tipped around and almost intercepted as he was looking for Corbin Allen. Corbin Allen couldn't quite hang on to it and bobbled it around. And that became a tip drill situation, but the ball does fall harmlessly onto the field. 4 minutes now remaining and counting in the third.
Looks like a little bit of a hot potato there for a second. I mean, bounced off of Greeley, bounced back to Ogemaw, playing a little back and forth game. Who wanted it? And the ground wanted a little bit more. So sets up a third down here, and you got two plays to pick up the first. I'd stick with that quick passing because he was open. I mean, it was just a discipline able to finish it.
Man in motion. They will fake it to the motion man, and keeping it is Kaharik. Ball on the ground. Let's see who's got it. And it is at the bottom of the pile. Kaharik fumbled Ogama ball. Their fourth turnover of the game. Andrew Christner comes out with it.
Yeah, so look, that play right there is one of the plays that they've not done really today. That's a midline veer. That's a guy coming across in the formation where you're running that option there. Your quarterback has the dive option on it. You also have, so that's a midline veer play. The quarterback hasn't run the ball much today. You know, at all. So running him up the middle to me doesn't really make a whole lot of sense because he's not reading that. I can tell by his looks, even though that is a design play that you could read it, he was looking just dead on straight with it. Running up the middle, I'm not sure if that was the right call. And now it's four turnovers for this offense, and it's not helping themselves out here and putting their defense in a tough spot once again.
I formation, two running backs and two wide receivers. Cardis under center. Snap. This is give to the fullback. Able to find a head of steam. That is number, that's a new ball carrier.
Jace O'Grady, the ball
that's
carrier for the
Jace O'Grady carrying in the football for the first time. And Ogama Heights able to empty the bench a little bit as number 18 gets in there. And how about that? He picks himself up 10 yards to the 43.5 and a first and 10 for the Ogama Heights Falcons.
Well, he was ready to get his number called upon because he came in this game and he already did one trucking over there. So he was ready to get in the game and make a big pick early.
11 guys right by the line here for Grayling. I formation, that sniffer off to the right. They bring him to the left. Snap to Cardis. Give to the long back, trying to find some room up the middle, and able to fall across the 45 to the 47 is Carter Schmidt. And that is a pickup of about four. And so that'll make it, I'll give him three on the play, second and seven.
Looks like Ogama Heights. It's just the third quarter, but they're still already going into that kind of four-minute mode where they're not going to snap that ball until the ref puts his hands up for the 10 count. That's what they just apparently did the last time. Let's see if they do it again in this possession.
Two wide receivers to the left, tight end to the right, two running backs. They bring him out in motion now. This is going to be a give. O'Grady again breaking another tackle and across the 45-yard line and taken down at the 44. First down, Jace O'Grady.
Yeah, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And he was ready on the sidelines. He was waiting for his number to get called upon, and it's showing now. So, you know, the positive of these things always is there's so many things to look at in a blowout situation like this. But guys who haven't had a chance to play a lot, hey, this is your opportunity. You know, you get to really show what you're made of. Because obviously, you know, some people like Carter Schmidt, you know what he can do. He's very good, and you don't want to take him out of the game close games. But now, if you had to, you know, you feel a little bit more comfortable once these guys get opportunities to show what they can do too.
O'Grady, a senior, too, so that is extra special. They again bring a man in motion as Schmidt. Snap to Curtis. Right back to O'Grady this time, met at the line. He's going to try and power ahead for a yard or two. And it'll be second down. Pickup of about a one. And that will end our third quarter. So at the end of three, Ogemaw Heights 36. Grayling nothing on WKJC, your power station for sports. Six to nothing, Ogemaw Heights after three quarters. Clock runs. Second down and eight for the Falcons. I formation, two wide receivers to the right. They bring Carter Schmidt in motion out to the left. And they again go right up the middle of that fullback. Three straight times now they've run that play. And forward progress is stopped. They handed that off to 88. That is T.J. Bailey, listed as tight end defensive tackle in the scorebook. But he's fullback on that play, and he's going to lose 2 yards.
Well, you love to see it until you say he lost 2 yards.
Yeah.
That's what a great story until you get to that point. But, you know, homecoming night, special night for the seniors, and maybe get those linemen get a chance to have some fun with it too. So, you know, these games are an opportunity to have a little bit of fun with it. You know, you feel pretty good 36-0 right now. So I've been in some situations like this where you just let your guys have some fun.
On our sister station, Hits FM, All Gray 60 and Mayo 16. Third down and 10. Curtis under center, I formation. Snap, pitch play to the left. Trying to find some room is Carter Schmidt up across the 40, and we'll see where they mark him down. We have a penalty flag in here at the end of the run. Don't think he got quite enough for the first down, but it's going to be whatever we do with the penalty here. It's going to be time to start thinking about O'Gray again as a legit contender in Division II.
Yeah, I think they are a legit contender, and we're excited to watch them next week against Alcona. But they got some legit opponents coming up.
Yeah,
I mean, I already told you my bold prediction towards the end of the season of who they're going to be playing. They got Alcona next week, but I know they still have Posen on the schedule.
You've been all over Posen all year, my friend.
And I've been right all year so far. So
that you have been.
We're going to stick with it, and I think that Posen has a really good chance. I think they match up well. I know the both teams really well. I don't know if there's two teams that I've studied more just on film in the past couple seasons than O'Gray and Posen. So I like the matchup. I think Posen's one of those teams that you have a shot at against them for sure.
All right. I look forward to that. So holding is the call on Ogemaw Heights. The penalty flag will be marked off from the 44-yard line, 43-yard line. So it should go back to...
It'll move the ball back to the...
Sorry, it's from the 37 back to the 47. Line. We're on the plus side of the field now, so I got to count backwards. And so that will set up third down, about 13. Two wide receivers to the left, I formation. Curtis under center. Snap. Give to the fullback, and nothing there. And so that'll be... back to the line.
T.J. Bailey, the ball
T.J. Bailey again was the ball carrier. And this is going to be the rare up by 36 punt. Second time Ogemaw Heights is punting from the plus side of the field. We don't see punting from the plus side of the field very often. Ogemaw Heights about to do it twice.
Yeah, this is I'd say it's almost a little surprise they're punting the situation, but last time they were able to pin him in about the 5-yard line where the guy caught it, so let's see if they're able to do this time.
Carter Schmidt, good kick here. I may have been wrong. That one went off the side of his foot. And it looked good. Can't see the angle, and the official still walking, and that turned out to be about a 10-yard punt. So I was wrong. That was not a good kick. It looked good through the air. It didn't. Absolutely went dead sideways. First and 10 for Grayling at the 32-yard line.
What, do you think we were in Denver for a second? High altitude up here? I mean, 10-yard punt there, but, you know, if they can't all be pinned on the 5-yard line.
Hey, so. Carter Schmidt had a punt of his life last week. Timeout, Ogemaw Heights, 9:07 to play in our fourth quarter. They lead 36-0 on WKJC, your power station for sports.
Broadcasting from the shores of Tawas Bay, you're listening to the big one, 50,000 watts. WKJC-FM, Tawas City, East Tawas, a Carroll Broadcasting Station.
High school football on WKJC brought to you in part by the Rose City RV Center, Rose City Ace Hardware, West Branch, and Rose City Automotive, Ogama Veterinary Clinic in Rose City, the Lunchbox of Curran, West Branch Collision, the Fall Inn of Rose City, and Buck's Country Cooking of West Branch. Falling behind on my list here. All right, shotgun formation here for Grayling as they get started. Handoff, that's Husband. Husband breaks the tackle up to the 40, spinning off defenders, and he's taken down at the 48-yard line. Good pickup for Grayling. Gain is 16, first and 10 for the Vikings.
Look, there's not going to be too many positive, good vibes coming out of this game for Grayling. I mean, they have 0 points right now into the fourth quarter. But one thing you are not going to be able to deny as a coach, as a player, when you watch back this film, is the physicality in some of these runs. The driving ability of these running backs to keep their legs moving, to drive for every yard possible. So it's been impressive to see them work on that.
Kaharick back to pass out of shotgun. Fires left side. Got a man. Caught it. That's number 10. Got upfield, and he's taken out of bounds at about the 40-yard line. As for number 10, Kavian Hall, he picks up a catch and a first down.
It's a good pass right there by Grayling. Good job at seeing those corners being that far off, getting that ball in the flats and converting for a first down. Little update in the area here, Brad. We got Tawas is up 22-8. 4 minutes left to go in the game.
Feel pretty good about that. Pretty good. It's not over, but pretty good. All right, first down from the 41-yard line. Again, Husband up the middle, slips a tackle, and then he will be taken down at about the 36-yard line. So that'll be a pickup of five and second down.
On the tackle for the Falcons, Christian Richardson.
Husband's really been fighting hard all game long, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're battling, and you can't help but be impressed with that because they have every reason to not be battling right now.
Right.
You're down in a game like this. It's an hour ride home probably on the bus. Let's just get on the bus. Let's get back home. But they're battling out there. They're fighting for every yard possible, and they're not giving up on this team or this season.
Back to pass, Kaharick. Fires right side. Got him in. Caught it. It's number 11. He's able to spin off a tackle at about the 28-yard line as Corbin Allen catches a short one on the right side. First and 10 for the Grayling Vikings. 7 minutes remaining, 36-0 Ogama Heights.
We touched on Tawas' homecoming. This is Ogama's homecoming here. Also homecoming tonight. Whittemore Prescott, they're taking on Rogers City. Rogers City's up right now 38-14 in the fourth quarter.
That's a tough homecoming draw right there. Three wide receivers to the left, one to the right, Kaharick and shotgun. And handoff to Husband. Cuts upfield. He's able to make a tackle miss to the 10-5 touchdown. Grayling Vikings. And no flags on the field. And the shutout is over. And the running clock is over. Back to our usual clock with only a 30-point lead.
And just think, Brad, if they're able to score any point right here, that's more points than Omaha gave up all last week. It's crazy
right.
To think about that. You know, such a close game, and Ogama's owned the majority of this whole game and on every aspect. But if Grayling converts this kick right here, it's the most points Ogama's been up in about 2 weeks.
Maddox Mead, great name, will kick the extra point. Good snap, good hold. Kick is up, blocked.
Well,
look what you
called,
did, Grant.
That's called the announcer jinx.
Look what you did, Grant. So, 6:36 remaining in our game. It's 36-6. Ogama Heights over the top of Grayling. This game brought to you in part by K&J Excavating of West Branch, McDonald's of Rose City, Mayo, Oscoda, Roscommon, and Tawas City, Fowler's Barbershop of West Branch and Leland Home and Healthcare of Northeast Michigan. You mentioned that Tawas only has, well, they have a two-score lead with about 4 minutes left. You know, that would mean so much to that community. That would mean a lot. I understand it's just one win over Mancelona, which is not a great team. But getting a win for the first time since 2019, I mean, that's big. It ends an over 20-game losing streak. This is a big moment for Tawas.
It's a big moment just because of what's taken place the last few years. And it's not fair to the coaching staff. It's not fair to some of those players because they weren't always a part of that. Some of them may have been. But bottom line is they just need to be done hearing about it. You know, you want to be done talking about it. It's 20 games. You don't want to hear that anymore. You don't want to have that pressure anymore. Just get the win out of the way and then get back to business. It's not about getting that first win. It's about being a football team after that. So get that, you know, thing out of the way there and just, you know, focus on the basics of getting that program back on track.
Ogama ready for the onside kick. Seth Huspin gets the touchdown there for Grayley.
The Vikings,
ball's lined up on that left hash, which just seems fishy, and is a line drive kick into the upman, and ball on the ground, dove on by Ogama Heights. Ricocheted off the second level, came back to the first level, and so Ogama Heights will take over. Ball on the 40, see where they mark it, 46. Ball on the 46, clock will no longer run, as it's only a 30-point lead, 36-6.
It's a good onside kick right there by Greeling. Doing that line drive, was able to ricochet off an Ogama player and almost recover it. It's a good effort there for sure.
Got a new quarterback in.
And so Xander Cardis' night is done. He will no longer be the quarterback.
What a great game.
And we'll see who they go with now. Yeah, he was fantastic, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's not a huge runner. They have other guys who do such a great job at that, but like I say so many times now, it's just like if you're the quarterback of the team and you're passing the ball, because you have to be a pass team at some points, just get up and give your guys a chance, and he gave his guys a chance in every way possible. Tonight.
Quarterback fakes the handoff. Now he's taking off running and able to get across the 45-yard line and a first down.
On the tackle for the Vikings.
And that is
Logan Loader.
Can't tell if that's 15 or 16.
No, it looks like 16.
16, so Rob Hawk. So I thought. I didn't think it was Magnuson, who's listed as a kicker and safety. Doesn't seem like backup tight end this, or backup quarterback, I mean.
Hey, I mean, I did hear that Gladwin had their kicker play quarterback for a play today and scored a touchdown, so anything's possible.
No offense to Pinconning, but it was against Pinconning. First and 10 to the 42-yard line.
That does sound pretty offensive.
It's a rough year for Pinconning, no doubt about it.
It's been a rough couple years for Pinconning.
Yes, it has. And this is going to be a rollout to the left, and nothing doing. That looked like a bit of a broken play, and that's a loss of 5 on the play. The quarterback, Rob Hawk, taken down back at the 46-yard line of Grayling. That's a loss of 4 on the play. And so it'll be second down and 14. This game brought to you in part by the committee to elect Mike Hoadley as 99th District State Representative, Ogama Lanes of West Branch, 31 Realty of West Branch, C.A. Haynes Realty of West Branch and Hale, and Miller Feet of Prescott. Thank you to all 42 of our wonderful sponsors. Hawk will turn, handoff left side, got a hole to the 35, to the 30, Jace O'Grady taken down inside the 20. Big play for the Falcons, and it'll be first down. 4:59 to play in our fourth quarter. It's 36-6. Ogama Heights using their bench, trying to get somebody else into the end zone. Hawk under center. I formation, O'Grady the deep back. Then I believe that's Bailey, the fullback, TJ Bailey, big defensive tackle. Wait for that arm judge to go up. Snap, turn, O'Grady on a counter and ran into the quarterback, and that slowed him down. He's going to lose a yard or two.
Yeah, and broken play right there. Quarterback turned to his left. I can tell this by the blocking scheme. He's supposed to turn to his right. That was more of a kind of a lead play. You're going to turn right where the handoff is going, right where the ball is going. So fullback went to the right side there. Line was blocking the right way. Quarterback just turned the wrong way. And you don't get a lot of reps. I mean, as a number two quarterback, you just don't. So,
especially Rob Hawk, who's got other responsibilities.
Right. Yep. You're not doing a lot of those reps there. So that's not something he's probably too used to doing.
Two wide receivers to the right. I formation, snap, turn, O'Grady. O'Grady left side, able to find a small crease inside the 20 to the 17.
On the tackle for the Vikings, Jake.
And so it'll be third down, under 4 minutes to play now.
Amazing make it third down.
Another score update, 66-24. Paul Gray over Mayo.
And Taos is up right now 30-8 with 2 minutes to go.
Good for them. Not only are they going to get a win, they're going to get it handily over Mansalona. That's good news. Third down and eight here for Ogemaw Heights. Rob Hawk barking out orders. He's got under 10 seconds to snap it. Snap, turn, right side O'Grady. And he'll be taken down at about the 15-yard line. That'll be a good 5 yards short of a first down. 3 minutes to play, fourth and five. Bring in your kicker. Let's see what your kicker can do. You might need him later on in the year. They're not going to, but I'd like to see it.
They're calling timeout. I don't hate your idea, Brad. I don't hate it at all.
You might need it later on. Timeout, Falcons. We'll take one with them. It's 36-6, 2:44 to play in the fourth on WKJC, your power station for sports. Fourth down and five. Rob Hawk under center. Snap, turn, right side. O'Grady reaching, and did he get there? No, he's going to be about a half yard short. Taken down at the 11, first down for Grayling. 2:39 to play.
It'll be first and 10 for the Vikings at the.
Now the Vikings, who. The key thing for them now, they scored. They don't have a zero to look at. You know, the coaches would have definitely all week long would have made mention that that offense didn't score any points. So this is good for them that they at least put something up on the board. At moral victories are tough when you get blown out, but you got to find them where you can. Kaharick and shotgun. Two wide receivers to the left, one to the right. Now they bring a man in motion. Kaharick will throw a long pitch out to that left side. That's number eight who fields it, able to get across the 15, and he'll be taken down at about the 16 or 17-yard line. Landon Hoffman was the one who took it.
It's taking a wide toss to a whole new mini right there. That was a unique toss play. He had to chuck that ball underhand like he was doing slow pitch softball for a second there. But no, like you said, I mean, moral victories, you try to find them again. And what I look at is just the effort. I look at the runners and how they just kept grinding and kept moving and fighting for every yard possible. That's the moral victory right there that you can build off of, I think.
Hand off to Husband right at the gut, bounce left side. Husband down the sideline to midfield. 40, 30, 20, and he is tripped up at the 10. Oh, man, he almost had an 84-yard touchdown. Oh, man.
He's going to hear about that Monday. He's going to hear about that in the film room, the lunch room, any other school room that there is. He's going to hear about that. I mean, you got chased down like that, we thought you were the fastest kid on the team. But what a great run, though, and not giving up. This the ability to keep fighting through it. And this game's, you know, well over. They know that, but they're not giving up. They want to score as many points as possible and build off of anything that they can for the ride home tonight.
First and goal at the 6. Give it to him again. Kaharick turn. Husband up the gut, and this time fighting those legs, reaching, and down at the 1.
See, normally, I wouldn't run him again just because he ran this about, you know, 70 yards. He's pretty tired. I'd probably give him a breather. But the fact that you just ran him now means he's okay to be in the game. Let him get in the end zone. Let him finish it off.
Yeah, give him one more. I know he has the other touchdown. I'm sure he'd like to get somebody else. Snap, turn. They do give it to someone else. Diving over the line. Touchdown. Grayling Vikings is. That is. Josh Aldridge, number 9, who dives across. So I guess Aldridge is okay. He's the one who got hurt earlier.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking there. So it's nice to see him get back in the game and make a big play like that. So it's good to see he's healthy. So
Grayling now has scored the last 12. Right back in it. Minute and 11 to play. Down by 24. Right back in it. They will go for 2. 3 wide receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Kaharick has Husband next to him. Roll out pass to the right. Quick fire, caught, and good. That is number 11 who makes the catch, Corbin Allen. So this is a strong finish. You lost the game. But they're going to have some fun with that long play. Have some fun, especially at Seth Husband's expense for getting chased down. Now you got to 14. This is a positive feeling to end this game, 36-14. Losses are never going to feel good. I can keep saying that, but I know these kids are not going to be happy going home, but they will, after a little bit of quietness on the bus ride home, at some point someone will yell, "Hey, Seth, why'd you get chased down?"
Yeah, they'll find a way to have fun with it. I mean, you want to build off of anything you can like that. And, you know, for Greeling, I mean, 14 points tonight. They have three games where they didn't score this much. You know, little signs of improvement. You know, you're able to build off of that kind of stuff. And they did some really good things, I thought. I mean, those runners, just so noticeably. You know, we don't point out the stuff unless it's super noticeable. And the fact that they just kept grinding and fighting for extra yards. You know, this is a really good Oklahoma Heights defense. So Greeling did such a great job of that. I think there's little things of this Greeling team, you know, getting that ball out a little bit quicker, finding those open receivers, you know, in different ways, different things that they could have done. But, you know, you're building off a strong ending. And this is the one thing as a coach, as you love a team, it's just in a finish. They're not giving up. They're not throwing in the towel. They're not ready to be done. They finish this game strong, and they're going to have fun with doing it.
High kick, fielded at the 27, and a kneel down there by the returner. And I assume that is what the quarterback will come out here and do with a minute and 8 seconds left. 36-14. Ogama Heights had a 36-0 lead. And so now they can go into victory formation and look ahead to next week. Looks like we had number 5 running into take the play call. That's Colin O'Grady. He might get to kneel this one down.
Best formation in football.
You get excited about this formation. So it is Colin O'Grady. He's out there counting to 11.
Except when I see it in the second quarter before halftime. I never like that.
Didn't like that one?
I never like that. I never like anybody taking a knee in the second quarter. I'd rather run it. You can break a run. You can't break a knee. Well, you can break a knee, but you can't break a kneel down.
I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. So... it's I'd rather run the ball always before halftime, but
first kneel down is successful. Colin O'Grady gets in -1 rushing yard. Really gonna kill his stats at the end of the year.
That's where you have to have connections with those stat people. They might ignore these last ones. You never
That's
know.
Right. I mean, maybe QB sneak the next one just to make sure. Now they can snap it. Clock runs under 40, so they can snap it and wrap this game up whenever they'd like. Snap, kneel down, and that'll end the game. So Ogama Heights improves to 4-2 and really solidify themselves as a playoff team in Division 5. At one point was leading 36-0. Grayling gets a couple of touchdowns late, but our final score, Ogama Heights 36, Grayling 14. Back to wrap it up after this in WKJC, your power station for sports.